you know. They met and planned and practiced, even built a simulated roof like our roof and practiced blowing it up, you know. So they knew what they intended to do. So when they came out to our home, you know, they set up all of their artillery, and then in the wee hours of the morning, they began their assault again with the fire department. Now, understand, this is a group of people, firefighters, who take an oath to save lives, who, you know, are known for going into burning buildings to save lives. But when it came to move, the first thing they did as part of this assault on move, they turned their deluge hoses on our home for hours, filling it with water when there was no fire. After that, the police department moved in. They used explosives on our home, you know, blowing holes in the wall, literally blew off the whole front porch. Then they shot thousands of rounds of bullets in on us. According to their own estimates, they shot over 10,000 bullets in on us. This was within the first 90 minutes, you know. Then when they got a state police helicopter and flew over our home with no announcement, no warning or anything at all, and dropped that bomb on the roof of our home, it ignited a fire. And the fire department, who had put thousands of pounds of water pressure on our home when there was no fire, conspired with other officials and made a decision, a conscious decision, that they were not going to put any water on the fire. They knew that the bomb had ignited which at first was a small fire on the roof of our home, a small fire that they admit could have been exterminated, you know, put out very easily at first. They made a conscious decision to just let it burn. And, you know, this is unheard of. When do firefighters, like I said, who take an oath, you know, to save lives, have a situation where they know it's men, women, babies, and animals in a building that's, you know, on fire, and they do nothing to put it out? Since when? I mean, how many instances can anybody think of where firefighters behave this way? But they did on May 13th of 1985. So they allowed the fire to burn. And after, you know, a while, we realized that our home was on fire because we were all in the basement. We didn't know it at first. But when we realized it, we immediately tried to get our children, our animals, and ourselves out of that burning building. And at the point we did, we were met by police gunfire. I mean, they took deliberate aim and started shooting at us to try to prevent anybody from escaping, you know, that fire. They intended to kill everybody in that house. And, you know, this is a situation where 11 people and numerous animals, 5 babies, 6 adults, numerous animals were murdered by the fire and by gunfire. Yet not one single official was ever charged, prosecuted, or anything, you know, concerning the murder of our family. Even though some MOVE people that were killed that day were found to have bullet fragments in them, indicating clearly that they were shot, not to mention just that they were murdered, you know. If any unofficial people had done one quarter of what cops did that day, they would be arrested, prosecuted, convicted, and probably executed. But not one official was charged with anything that day. The only person to be charged with anything and to go to prison was me. Was me as the only adult survivor. Now, there were plenty of investigations because there was such an outcry. You know, there were plenty of investigations, which was obviously a sham, too, because, I mean, if you're investigating, then you're saying you don't know what happened and you're trying to get the facts and find out what happened. But if they didn't know what happened, how do they justify arresting me? You know? If you don't know what happened, you don't know what happened. So how are you going to treat me like a criminal if you don't know what happened? I wasn't seen or proven to have done anything except be in my house that day, you know? But there were 11 people murdered that day, and you're telling me that you're just investigating, nobody is charged, and told like everybody else that they would have their day in court, you know, to prove their innocence or to, you know, prove what happened. They would have their day in court? No, no. And, you know, it's this kind of example that people really, really need to look at and not overlook it or gloss over. And I'm not saying this simply because it was me and my family that were the victims of this kind of brutal and vicious attack. I'm saying it because the example set by this rotten-ass system that day was not simply a message to move. It was a message to everybody, you know? And you saw it again in Waco, Texas, a few years later. You know, this is why we're telling people and letting people know. When we talk about this, when we, you know, try to make people see this for what it is, it's not because we want some sympathy from people. Sympathy doesn't help anything. We go around the world telling people about this and urging people not to overlook it because we want people to understand that this affects them too. This is not just a message from Moo, that people better wake up and stand up for themselves, you know, put an end to this kind of injustice to protect themselves. Move people have been fighting and, you know, working, been involved in revolutionary activity for over 35 years now. And despite all that this system have come at us with, including the bombing, we got people in prison, you know, going on 29 years now with 30-year minimums and 100-year sentences, and they're still fighting. I was in that house bombed, almost burnt alive, and was put in prison, and I'm still fighting. This government told me and several of my other Mu sisters and brothers when we were in prison that they would release us early, you know, if we agreed to sever all ties with Mu and have no contact with any Mu person. We told them to go to hell. We weren't agreeing to that. And because of that, we did our maximum sentences in prison when we could have been released much, much earlier than that, years earlier than that. And this is after our family, our babies were bombed and burned alive. We still stood strong. So Move people ain't looking for no sympathy or anything. We're setting our example, okay? We're telling people that everybody, people of the world, had better wake up and stand up for themselves if they want to protect themselves. Because when an injustice happens, it's like a sickness, you know, like poison in your body. If you don't get rid of it, it's not just going to go away, and it's not simply going to be contained in that one area. It's going to spread if you don't deal with it and get rid of it immediately. And that's what we're telling people. They better stand up for themselves. You know, that's our message to people. And I hope people understand what we're saying, because the condition of the people of the world today is horrendous and getting steadily worse. The brutalness and viciousness of this worldwide repressive system, you know, it's getting worse every day, and the examples are coming more frequently every day. And it's going to be that way until the people put an end to it, because unfortunately, you know, this is the position that we are in. These officials, those running the system, are not, I repeat, are not going to back off voluntarily. You know, the only way they are going to back off is through force and pressure from the people. That's our work. We have to do that. It's our responsibility. It's the only way it's going to happen. You know, there is no way in the world that we can hallucinate, that we can demand respect from anybody if we don't respect ourselves enough to stand up for ourselves. You know, there's no way. I mean, if people allow themselves to be abused, then how are you going to demand respect from your abuser? How? It's just not going to happen. We have to love ourselves and respect ourselves enough to fight for ourselves and say, I am not taking this. I don't deserve this, and I'm not taking this. I don't care. You know, I have to fight this for myself. For myself. You know, people look at MOVE and they say, my God, after all you've been through, you know, all that has happened to you and your people in prison, how do you go on? How do you keep fighting? You know, what keeps you going? It's very simply the understanding that there is nothing else. I mean, what else are we supposed to do? Lay back and just be a doormat for this system and say, oh, well, you know, nothing I can do, just throw our hands up, you know? And furthermore, despite all that we have been through with this system, we have the satisfaction, the self-contentment of knowing that we are fighting for what's right, that we are not a dish rag for this system, you know? And for real, we get examples of the rewards of our work, because a few years back, I guess it was in 2000 maybe, when the Republican National Convention was in Philadelphia, we had a situation where we had a demonstration against the death penalty during that time. And the police were going crazy on people during that whole week of the convention. I mean, arresting thousands of people, beating thousands of people. I mean, it was unbelievable. And we had this demonstration, and at the end of it, one of our young people was starting to load up our van with the sound equipment, and this cop was telling him he couldn't walk in the street. And he was telling the cop, you know, he was loading up the equipment. How the devil was he going to load it up without stepping into the street? And the cops end up snatching him and locking him, you know, arresting him, putting him in the police van. And people came, you know, running over to us and telling us that they had locked up our brother Mike, that they had snatched him. And we went over and, you know, we saw some of the regular, you know, blue-suited cops. And we told them that we wanted to see this inspector, this lieutenant, rather, because we had dealt with him before. We knew the regular street cops, you know, that wasn't who we wanted to talk to. They ain't had no authority. And when the lieutenant came over to us, Captain Fisher, we told him, we said, look, your cops snatched one of our brothers up. we want him back now, or you got a problem on your hands. And we went and stood in front of the van where our brother was in and let him know that van wasn't moving nowhere. So Captain Fisher, he went and he did whatever he had to do. He talked to the police commissioner. He did what he had to do. But they released our brother. They came back over to the van, opened it up, and let him out. They didn't do that with anybody else that they arrested, the thousands of people that they arrested, you know, during that week of the Republican National Convention. And they didn't do that because they're intimidated or scared of a Ramona Africa or Pam Africa or any other MOVE person, you know. They did that because of the 35-year example of seriousness that they have seen in this organization. They knew we meant what we said. They knew that, you know, and they backed off. So I'm saying we do see the rewards of our work. And everybody, people worldwide, are going to have to get just as serious if we intend to improve our condition, you know, in any small way. People have to really get serious because these people running this system, they are the master game players, and they know, they can tell very, very quickly when people are serious and when they're not. When they're not. And they will push as much as they know they can push. They will get away with as much as they know they can get away with. And we're the ones that have to draw the line and be serious about it, you know. I mean, we have lost some of our family members, and that hurts us. But we know that our family didn't, you know, die in vain because we're still fighting. And we also know that giving in to this system, submitting to it, does not protect you. I mean, Amadou Diallo in New York City, he wasn't a revolutionary, and I'm not criticizing the brother. I'm simply saying he wasn't involved, you know, in a demonstration or anything. He was killed, shot down by police, unarmed, standing in front of his own home, his apartment building, you know. So I'm saying not being involved, not, you know, being involved in revolution and working to make things right does not protect you. You know, you can be victimized nevertheless. So why not do the work to put an end to such things? You know, you understand what I'm saying?
I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah, we got about 5 minutes left, Ramona. And,
okay, well, I guess I would just like to tell people that, you know, this is a very serious time that we're living in, and that it's not enough to just talk about it or complain about it. We are going to have to set some serious priorities here, make some serious decisions, because nobody is saying that we can't go to movies or have a party or go to a party or relax or whatever. But what I am saying is that we are going to have to make time, find the energy to be involved in some revolutionary activity in defense of ourselves, or shut the hell up and stop complaining. Stop complaining. Because if we are not willing to do something to put an end to this madness, then what is the point of complaining about it? You know, that's the position of MOVE. I mean, you know, it's like complaining about being hungry and not burning 1 ounce of energy to get the food that will solve your hunger, you know? It's like just complaining and not doing anything about it. What sense does that make? If you're hungry, stop complaining about being hungry and do the work to get the food that will solve your hunger, you know? Well, if we are oppressed and being brutalized, you know, and abused, then let's do the work to put an end to that so that we don't have to complain about it. Let's put an end to it, you know. I would also like to make sure that people have our contact information, which is the MOVE organization at P.O. Box 19709, Philadelphia, PA, Pennsylvania, 19143. And we can be reached at 610-499-0979 or 215-387-4107. Our email address is on the move. That's onamoveellja@aol.com. And our website is on the move. That's onamove.com.
Right on. Ramona, thanks so much for coming on the air today.
No problem.
I really appreciate you sharing all this with us.
Okay.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Right on.
On the move.